Okay, as I was thinking during the week about Psalm 8, I remembered a song that I used to listen to when I was a teenager. Now, that's a long time ago. So long ago when I was a teenager. But it's a great song, and it talks about Psalm 8. It uses a lot of the words in Psalm 8. And so we're going to listen to that now, and there'll be some photos on the screen as well. While that's happening, Robin and Chloe are handing out some sheets. Now, the kids are getting big ones, and the adults are getting little ones. Should be the other way around. The adults might need the big ones for their eyesight. But and these are worksheets that we're going to do during the sermon today. So the kids have got to listen, and so you can fill in all the answers and fill in bits and pieces. So you'll need a pencil or some colouring pencils or things like that. So we might need to grab some pencils from down the back. Do that while this song is on, and we're going to listen to it right now. Hopefully it'll work.
Thou, Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth. O Lord, Thou, Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth. Who has displayed Thy splendor above the heavens? Establish strength for minds of infants to show all my enemies. Oh Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord. How majestic is Thy name in all the earth. For when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast appointed, what is man that Thou dost take thought of him? Son of man, that Thou dost care for him.
Oh, Lord, oh, how I love You.
Oh, how I love You.
Oh, Lord, oh, how I
Put your hand up if you remember that song from when you were a teenager. Yeah, you're all old. Okay. That's a great song, isn't it? Now, we've got these special worksheets to do, kids, so make sure you listen. But Last week we had a bike for Bibles and we were riding through the countryside. We were riding from Narrabri to Bingara and Bingara to Manila and Manila to Gunnedah and Gunnedah back to Narrabri. It was a great bike ride, but the thing that really struck me along the way was that people from Sydney who'd come on our bike ride kept saying, "Wow, look at the scenery out here. Isn't it so amazing?" And you know what? I started to think, well, I don't often look at the scenery. Sometimes I'm just in such a rush to get from Narrabri to Bingara, by a car that is, that I don't bother looking around and seeing all the beautiful scenery that's around me. But these people from Sydney who'd never seen it before said, "Wow, look at this beautiful mountains and valleys, and it's just fantastic." And every day they commented on how beautiful the scenery was. In front of Lake Keepit, we had a fantastic barbecue there. It was absolutely a beautiful spot. And it made us think of how great God is. You know, when you look at the world around you, when you look at what God has created, you think, how majestic is God? How glorious is God? Now, kids, remember we've been having some questions in church lately. And one of the questions was about who made everything? Who made you and everything? And what's the answer to that one? God did, yeah. God made us and everything. And when we look at the beautiful world around us, when we look at ourselves, we realize that it's God who's made us, and God made us for his own glory. As we look at the world, we realize how glorious God is. Now, that's what David was doing in this first picture that you've got on your sheets. David was a shepherd, and he wrote Psalm 8. And David, I think when he wrote Psalm 8, he would have been lying by his campfire at night with all the sheep there. And this is a nighttime picture, okay? And he's lying by his campfire at night and he's thinking, "Wow, how great is God?" And he's probably doing this, looking up at the stars and the moon and thinking, "Look at all those stars. How great is our God?" So in your sheets, you've got to do what's up on the screen there. You've got to draw some stars and draw a moon that David was looking at. You can have big stars and little stars and all sorts of shaped stars, but drawing some stars and a moon, because David would have been staring up at God and thinking, God is an amazing God. Now, we know so much more than David about our universe now. David would have been looking at the stars and thinking that they revolved around the earth. But now we know that there is galaxies and constellations that David never even dreamed of. And as we look at God's amazing universe, it makes us realize how big God is. How glorious God is. How amazing God is. And that's what David was doing when he was writing these words in Psalm 8. He said, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So if you've got your Bibles there, you can see some of the words that he wrote. It's good to have your Bibles open. He says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." As he looked out in the night sky, he would have been going, "God is a glorious God. Look at his glory there above the heavens." The next verse is interesting. He says, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies." So he looks at the heavens and he sees the glory of God, but he looks at kids singing songs to God and he says, "How great is God?" Even kids singing songs to God is a great picture, because it says that when kids sing praise to God, that shuts up God's enemies. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So kids, when you sing praise to God, and as adults, we know it, don't we? We love seeing kids sing praise to God, because that, the Bible says, that's going to shut up God's enemies. No one's going to have an answer. Remember that choir that came here last year, the choir from Africa? And those beautiful kids all singing praises to God at the top of their voices. And they were just amazing. And to see them made you really think, well, how could you argue against that? How could you argue against that? There's no answer for God's enemies when you see kids singing praise. And then in verse 3 he says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." David's looking at all these things, thinking, how great is the universe? But then he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you care for him." Now, I don't know if you've ever had this thought when you've stood on the top of a huge cliff. I grew up in the Blue Mountains and I used to love going and standing on the top of the cliffs and sometimes on the wrong side of the fence. They'd just lean over the cliffs and have a look all the way down. And my mum would have been terrified if she'd been there and horrified. But it's so great to look down off the top of a huge cliff down into a valley and see just how big God's world is. And it makes you feel very, very small when you see how big God's world is. When you look at the stars in the night sky and you look out into outer space, you realize how very small you are. And that's what David was saying. When you look at God's beautiful creation, what is man? What is man that you even think about him? But then look at what he says in verse 5. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. God has given us amazing place in creation. He's made us the rulers of his world. He's put us in charge of everything, all the animals, all the fish, all the birds. So in the second picture, what you've got to do, you can see there, this is a, you know, one of those My Family things you see on the back of your windows of your cars. These are great pictures that Louise Stiller drew for me, by the way. I didn't draw these pictures. Now, we've got My Family. Now, you might have more people in your family, and so you can add more people into that picture. I had to change the son there into a girl. So if you have a look at my picture, Emily, you're going to put it up there for me? I gave her long hair, and I added two more girls into that picture. And so that's my family. And I drew a tractor on the side of a hill and some birds in the sky. So kids, you draw in those birds in the sky and you draw in your family in there, because God has made us to rule over his world. He has made us, he has crowned us with glory and honor, it says. God has given us a great responsibility. But the only problem is, that picture looks a bit too good, because it looks like there's absolutely everything perfect in that picture. But we don't see that in our world, do we? We don't see a perfect picture. So in your picture, you might have to draw in some weeds on that farm, because all farms have weeds, don't they? And it's a battle we fight against weeds. And you might have to draw some rubbish on the ground, because people drop lots of rubbish on the ground. They pollute God's good world, don't they? We do that. We pollute God's good world. In fact, God has made us the ruler over his world, but we haven't always done the right thing. In fact, a lot of the time we do the wrong thing by God's world. We get greedy and we want more for ourselves, and so we don't take care of God's creation the way we should. We fail. And so down the right-hand side, you might write that word, fail. You see it up there on the right-hand side? We have failed to rule over God's creation the way he wants us to. We are not doing a good enough job. We can't live up to God's standards. We can't even live up to our own standards. We have failed to be the good rulers over God's creation that he wants us to be. And that's called sin. We know that, don't we? When we fail God, when we fail God's world, that's called sin. And so we need to make sure that we know that. God is glorious. When you look at God's world, you see how glorious God is. But sometimes when we look at our own world, we can see how gloryless we are. That we're not, we don't have the glory that God made us to have. He crowned us with glory and honour. He made us in his own image, but we've fallen short of that, and we have failed to be the people that God wants us to be. And that's sad news, isn't it? That's bad news. And so why does Psalm 8 talk about how glorious God has made us to be? You know what? I think Psalm 8 is not necessarily just talking about us, but it's actually trying to focus us in on someone else who is glorious, who is a man who did rule over God's world the way God wanted him to. Look over in Hebrews, if you've got your Bibles open, and that second Bible reading, it's page 1803 in the Church Bibles. if you've got one of those. Hebrews chapter 2. And you'll see some words that are very interesting. And you see in verse 6, he uses the same words that David uses. He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him." You see, that's our failure, that we can't rule over God's creation the way he intended us to rule because of our sinfulness. And sometimes, instead of us being the masters of God's creation, sometimes we see creation mastering us. And we battle against it. Have you ever tried to put out a raging bushfire? Remember a few years ago, there was a bushfire that started at Killarney Gap. And it was a little bushfire to start with. But because of the hot winds that were blowing, that bushfire went for 6 weeks, despite our best efforts to put it out. We battle against God's will. We battle in all sorts of ways. Have you ever tried to tame an angry dog? That's a hard thing, isn't it? Even a friendly dog is hard to tame. We had a friendly dog in Barradine that we could never get to do what we wanted him to do. Have you ever tried to control a vicious dog? We battle against God's creation. You ever tried to slow the aging process? You know, fight grey hair and baldness and those sagging parts of your body that you don't want to sag. Have you ever tried to battle against your own body? We battle against God's creation because of our sin. You ever tried to stop weeds growing, get rid of rabbits and roos and wild pigs? You ever tried to fight death itself? See, instead of being masters of God's creation, we end up being mastered by God's creation because we have failed God, because we have sinned against him. We were given a great honor and a huge responsibility, but we haven't lived up to God's standards. We haven't even lived up to our own standards. And instead of being glorious, we seem pretty gloryless. So what's the answer to this? Well, the answer is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. After it's pointed out how we've failed, we do not see everything subject to man in verse 8. But in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, we were meant to be we were meant to rule God's creation, but we failed, so God sent one who wasn't going to fail. He sent Jesus. In your third picture, you'll see a crown. And in that crown, you need to write the word, the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is our King. And why is Jesus the King? It says he was crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. That's why Jesus is our King. Because he died for us on the cross. He died to forgive our sin, to take the punishment that we deserve for not being the people that God wanted us to be, for not ruling his creation the way he wanted us to rule it. Jesus suffered death, and it says he tasted death for everyone. So we don't have to worry about death. Because Jesus tasted death for us, we have eternal life. Jesus has died for us and has given us the great promise of life forever with him. So write the name of Jesus on the crown and draw the cross, because that's how we know that Jesus is God's King. See, there's two amazing truths in these passages, aren't there? The first one is that we were given a highly exalted position. We were crowned with glory and honor, but we've fallen short of all of God's expectations. And so Jesus humbled himself And he died on the cross. He tasted death for us. And as a result, he has been crowned with glory and honor. Jesus is the King. Now, why is this important for me? We're going to move on to our next picture. In our next picture, you see, we belong to Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for us to know that we are now one of God's people because of Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. You've got a blank face there. I want you to fill in your own eyes and your own nose and your own mouth and your own hair on that face. Show me. There we go. I did that last night before I had a shave. You can see a few whiskers there. That looks like me, doesn't it? It looks a lot like me. Thank you. And we know now that because of what Jesus has done, because Jesus has tasted death for us, we belong to Him and we bear His name. We carry Jesus' name on our lives, on our bodies. I am a Christian. And I want you to write that in. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. And you know what, kids? If you are one of God's people, then you are marked by God. You're made by God, aren't you? You are made by God, and you are made by God not just for yourself, but for Jesus. If I ever had a tattoo, which I'm not going to get a tattoo, kids, don't ever get tattoos. I want to get one of those wash-off ones. But if I ever had a tattoo, it'd be something like this, made by God for Jesus. We bear Jesus' name on our life. We belong to Him. It's great to be an Australian, isn't it? Who likes being an Australian? Yeah, I like being Australian. It's not so good sometimes when we play rugby against New Zealand. But anyway, it's always good to be an Australian. It's great to be an Australian, but it's even better to be a Christian. It's great to be a Baxter, let me tell you. It's great to be a Baxter, but it's even better to be a Christian. It's great to be a Narrabriarian. What do we call them? Narrabrian. There you go, Narrabrian. It's great to be someone from Narrabri, but it's even better to be a Christian. That's our first identity. Our first and most important identity is that we belong to God. We are made by God for Jesus. Next, you can say, well, I'm an Australian. And after that, you can say, I'm from Narrabri. After that, you can say whatever you want. But our first and most important identity is that we are Christians. That comes above everything else. Whatever race you belong to, whatever culture you come from, you are a Christian if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important. We must let Jesus be our King. He has been crowned with glory and honour. He is our King. You know, God doesn't owe you anything. God has given us everything. He's given us a beautiful universe to live in. He's given us His Son to die on the cross for us, to take away our sins. He's given us the sure hope of eternal life if we trust in Jesus. God doesn't owe you anything. But we owe Him everything, don't we? Because we belong to Him, we are His people. We are made by Him, and we've been rescued by His Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the King of all. Everything has been put under His feet. So we've got to ask ourselves the questions. This is mums and dads, everyone here. Have we put our lives under Jesus' feet? Everything has been put under Jesus' feet. Everything is subject to Him. Are you subject to Him? Have you subjected yourself to the Lord Jesus? Now, this is a hard question because it means every part of our life has to belong to Him. Our money, our time, our leisure, our relationships, all things belong to Jesus because He has been crowned with glory and honor. He is the King of God's universe. And we must serve Him and obey Him with everything we have. And we have a job to do. We still have to manage God's creation. We still have to rule over God's world the way He wants us to the best of our ability. We won't always do it perfectly, but we have to do it. You know, some people say, oh, see that big national park over there? We shouldn't touch that. We should just let it go. let it be a wilderness. I think that's very irresponsible. I think the Bible says to us that we have to manage God's world and rule over it. That doesn't mean we cut it all down. That means we look after it and we want the best for that piece of land that we can do. We have to look after, and it's great to have national parks. It's a good thing to look after the national parks. But we don't just let it go. That'd be terrible. You see, nature was never meant to be lord over humanity. That's the way some people see it. They say, Mother Nature does this, Mother Nature does that. Nature isn't lord over humanity. We don't believe in Mother Nature. We believe in the Father Creator. And He has given us the job of ruling over His world. Although our sinfulness has stuffed up this relationship between us and God and between us and His world, we shouldn't take our hands off the wheel. We have to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. And we have to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for our world. There's a few good blokes around. There's a bloke called the Dalai Lama. Anyone heard of him? He's a nice guy. He's a friendly guy. He says lots of nice things. But without Jesus, he has no hope. Without Jesus, there is no substance to what he says. Because he can't offer you eternal life. Only Jesus can do that because he has tasted death for us so that he might take away our sins. People will try and tell you all sorts of ways of having a meaningful life. Horoscopes, financial plans, retail therapy, all those things offer a meaningful life. But none of them have any hope without Jesus. See, Jesus has great glory because of who he is and what he's done. He is God's Son who has tasted death for us. And he has been crowned with glory and honour. Father God, we thank you that you did make the great universe that we see all around us, that we can look at it and see how beautiful and wonderful it is. And Lord, we thank you that even though we are so small, that you gave us a special place in your world, that you made us to rule over your creation. Father, we are sorry for the way that we've messed that up, for the wrong things that we've done, for the times we've been greedy, and we haven't looked after your creation the way we should have. Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be the great King over your creation, to be the one who rescues us from our sin, the one who is in charge of everything and everyone. And we pray that you would help us to trust him and that you would help us to remember, first and foremost, that we belong to him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.